The scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the first book of Kings, chapter 3, beginning with the 5th verse, which is our first lesson for today, this 10th Sunday after Pentecost. Dear friends in Christ, as many of you know, this past week, the actor Robin Williams died. Now, we're not going to get into how he died, the depression that led him to do so, or the aftermath with all the tributes that follow after his death. Now, today I want to mention one of his movies. For many people my age, one of the first times we were exposed to Robin Williams is in the Disney movie Aladdin. Perhaps you remember that movie. It's based on an ancient Arab folktale about some magic lamp. Aladdin was tricked into getting this magic lamp, and when he had finally rubbed the lamp, out popped a genie voiced by Robin Williams. And the genie grants Aladdin, as his master, 3 wishes. There are a few stipulations, a few restrictions, but other than that, Aladdin could ask for whatever he wants, and the genie would give it to him. It's a big decision to make for Aladdin. He wanted to pick wisely, didn't want to waste any of his choices. Now, I can't help but think about this movie Aladdin when I read our text for today. Of course, I'm not saying that God is a genie. He's much more than that. I'm not saying that God is here to grant our wishes. He does much more than that. And yet there are some similarities. Now here God came to Solomon and said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." This time there's no stipulations, no restrictions, but just one wish. Solomon could ask for anything in the world, and God would give it to him. Now here's Solomon. He's a young king. He's only been king for a few years now. He's been put in charge of an entire nation. Now he had his enemies both within the country and outside of the country, but he also had his supporters. He also had elders and advisors and priests. He had grew up in the house of David. He saw how his father David had ruled the land, and yet he was still a little clueless. He still did not know exactly how to lead his people. He said to God, "I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties." Now, he wasn't literally a child. Solomon, by this time, had a few children of his own. He was a child because he was inexperienced. He continued, "Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people, too numerous to count or number." Solomon was put in charge of a great nation. Millions upon millions of people relied on him and looked to him for leadership. He was also their commander-in-chief. And this wasn't just any group of people. It wasn't just any nation. This was God's nation. This was God's children. These were the people God chose to be his very own, from which the Savior of the world would come. Solomon was placed in charge of God's own children. Who was equal to such a task? Or as Solomon said, who was able to govern this great people of yours? So, Solomon asked for a discerning heart to govern your people and to distinguish between right and wrong. Solomon's wish was that he would better be able to serve God and to serve others, so he asked for wisdom. Foolish? Many might think so. Solomon could have asked for anything. He could have asked for all the wealth in the world. He could have asked to be the most powerful person ever. He could have asked for love or for a long life to live forever. He could have asked that all his enemies be destroyed so that he would be free to rule without consequence, without worrying about others. You name it. You can think of it. Solomon could have asked for it and he could have received it. Wealth, power, fame. He could have had it all. But Solomon wasn't concerned about himself. He didn't ask for anything that would make his life better or easier or happier. Now, would Solomon benefit from being wise? Sure. But we can clearly tell that that wasn't his motivation. No, his motivation was he wanted to serve God. His motivation that he wanted to serve God's people. So instead of being selfish, instead of asking for something for himself, he asked for something that would enable him to do God's will. He put God and others first in front of his wants and desires. Now what if you were in Solomon's sandals? What would you ask for? Now you could ask for anything you could ever want. You can have all the wealth in the world. You can be the most powerful person on the face of the planet. You could be as tall as you want, or as much hair as you want, or as athletic as you want. You could ask for to be popular, to be successful, maybe to even be famous. You could have X-ray vision or be able to fly or have the gift of reading minds. You would never have to work again. Would never have to go to school. If it tickled your fancy, you could spend all day out on the lake fishing. Anything you ever wanted, you could have. You wouldn't have to lift a finger. How awesome would that be? But let's be real. You're not going to find a magic lamp. There's no such thing as a genie. And chances are, God's not going to come to you and tell you he's going to grant your one wish. And yet this story still resonates for us today because life is all about choices. What you choose shows your heart. You choose what you want. So what do you choose? Not what should you choose, not what do you hope you should choose, or what you would choose if you're in Solomon's position, but what do you choose? What do you choose on a regular, everyday basis? Sadly, we are often selfish in our choices. It is often not God and His Word that are first in our lives, but ourselves. We choose what is best for us. We choose what makes us happy or what makes our lives more convenient, a little bit easier. We choose our own wants and desires, and often our choices come at the expense of God and His Word. It's not even for all the riches in the world that we push aside God's will, but for a few paltry overtime hours. It's just for a little extra money in the checking account that we withhold from our offerings. It's not as if we have just one choice to make. It's not just we have one wish that God granted us, and it's a big decision. We messed up on that decision and made a big mistake and chose something wrong. No, these are choices we make day in and day out constantly. We choose fame or money or lust, the downfall of those around us and so on instead of God and His Word. Look at Solomon's choice and see the Lord's reaction. The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this, we read. God was pleased that Solomon didn't ask for anything for himself, but that he put God and others first. So God gave him what he asked for. In fact, God gave Solomon so much wisdom that there is no one as ever wise as Solomon before him or after him. Solomon was the wisest person to ever walk on the face of this earth. And because God was so pleased with Solomon's request, God gave Solomon something that he didn't ask for. Earthly wealth. In fact, later we read that Solomon's yearly income was 25 tons worth of gold. Rich by the world's means beyond our wildest imagination. God was gracious to Solomon just as he was gracious to his father David. God didn't need to choose David to be his king, but he did. He didn't need to forgive David when David committed adultery with Bathsheba and tried to cover up that adultery by committing murder, but he did. He didn't need to continue David's line on the throne of Israel, and yet he chose one of his sons to be king over his people. And then he came to that son Solomon and granted him one wish. God did that out of the graciousness of his heart. He chose to give blessings to his children simply because that is who he is and that is what he does. That is the grace of God. We see it again and again in our lives. You see it in the fact that God chose you. He didn't need to choose you, his enemy, but he did. He chose you to be his own dear child. He chose you to be saved through faith in his son. He has given you many spiritual blessings on this earth, many eternal, many physical blessings. He has placed you in the best country ever. You have the freedom to worship as you want, the freedom to practice the religion as you want. He has blessed you with abundant worldly possessions. You are rich in the eyes of other people throughout the world, and compared to the people throughout the history of the world, you have more than they could ever imagine. You never have to worry about whether or not you're going to be able to eat today, if you have clothes to put on, if you'll have a roof over your head. God has given you abundant blessings, physical blessings, but more importantly, he has given you spiritual blessings. You are spiritually wealthy, for you have the forgiveness of sins and eternal life. Those spiritual blessings, spiritual wealth comes down to us from the gift of his son, Jesus Christ. It was Jesus who gave up the glories and all the riches of heaven to come down and live on this sin-filled world. As God, Jesus is all-powerful, had all the power in the world, and yet he chose not to make full use of that power. He let himself be arrested and beaten and mocked and ridiculed and spit upon and crowned with thorns and flogged. He chose to give up his life on the cross. Not because it felt good. Jesus didn't do it for himself so that he could gain glory and honor. He suffered much. Not just physical suffering, but spiritual suffering. He was forsaken by his heavenly Father. He suffered through the pain and agony of hell as he was condemned for our own sins as he took them upon himself. No, he did this not for himself, but for us. He did this so that we would have the forgiveness of sins. He did this so that through faith in him, we would live with him in heaven forever. Christ chose us. Not himself. No, he chose to save his enemies. Life is all about choices, and we have eternal life because Christ chose to save us. So what do you choose? You don't just have one wish or three, but you have multiple choices, countless choices, each and every day. So what do you choose? Should you choose temporal blessings or spiritual blessings? Should you choose the things of this world or the things of God? Follow Solomon's example. He showed us what true wealth is. It's not found in all the wealth of the world. It can't be grasped through the power and the happiness that this world has to offer. It is found in God's Word. It is the forgiveness of sins. It is the eternal life. It is faith which receives these blessings that Christ won for us. So follow Solomon's example and live a life with spiritual wealth. To choose God first doesn't mean that we have to live in seclusion. Doesn't mean that we have to live as poor monks. Doesn't mean that we have to give up all our worldly possessions. It simply means that we put God and His Word first. It is the pearl of great price where we consider God the most important thing and worth more than all the wealth the world has to offer. God has given you many blessings, the greatest of which is spiritual wealth. So spread that wealth. Do what you can so others may be spiritually wealthy as well. Spread the gospel. Tell others about the one who died for their sins. Tell them about how eternal life comes through faith in Christ alone. And use your earthly wealth to spread spiritual wealth. To support the spread of the gospel. So that by the power of the Holy Spirit, others may be spiritually wealthy as well. Well, you're not going to find a magic lamp. God probably isn't going to come to you and grant your one request. Yet life is still all about choices. Choose spiritual wealth. For you and for others. And you know that is one request that Christ will most certainly grant. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God that surpasses all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. Amen.